Hello and welcome to a new episode of the DFF podcast, Alles ist Film, Everything is Film. My name is Sanne Hämmerling and I invite you to our fifth talk about the project Constellation 2.0. In our last episode, Nils Brunschede from DFF and Stephanie Hauschild from the Hessische Landesmuseum Darmstadt introduced us to the cooperation between DFF and the Landesmuseum. We learned a lot about storytelling while Stephanie and Nils introduced us to the art of writing. The tiny stories they develop allow visitors to find connections between different objects in the exhibitions and from the archives. Today, we talk about the visual part of the stories, and that is photographs of the numerous and very different objects. My first guest, therefore, is Ruwena Rahman. She is a professional photographer from India, and her part in Constellation 2.0 is to take the beautiful pictures of our objects. Ruwena, hello.
Hello, Sanne.
Why don't you tell us a little about you? What brings you to Frankfurt?
The project with the film museum actually is what brought me to Frankfurt. This is my first venture into working in Germany.
Thank you. Katharina, our project manager of Constellation 2.0, she's also here with us today. Hi, Katharina.
Hi, Sanne.
And Katharina, almost a year has passed since we last spoke on the podcast about the project, and you had just evaluated the first prototyping lab, and we were looking into the virtual architecture and the technical aspects of it. And what has happened since?
Wow, a lot of things have happened in the last year, I must admit. It was the first time that we were able to travel to Australia to meet our project partner, ACME, and to really take a look at Constellation 1.0, the first version, so to speak, of the user experience that we're creating here in our museum. And it was really an eye-opener to travel to Australia and meet these people in person. I mean, we're talking to them since 2 years. We know how they look like digitally. We had no idea how tall or small they are. And we were like talking for 7 days in a row. And in that way, it happened really quickly that the next prototype was done, like 6 weeks after our visit, actually, we had our second prototype. And now we are working on the user experience design for that prototype.
Mm-hmm. What do we need pictures for?
In the beginning of our project, we were always thinking about the fact that if we do a digital experience here in the museum, we don't want to replicate the museum space. We don't want to create something like a tour through our objects or through whatever we have. We want to give people a different kind of perspective on our objects or on our content or on our stories or the stories that we're telling. And we thought we needed visual language that really creates a dialogue that allows us to see something that we don't see in gallery. Also because we're also including objects that are only in the archives or only in the collections. So we are trying to create storylines between objects, and mm-hmm. these objects need a visual representation. Mm-hmm. Even though the storyline is text-based, we need the visual representation, and the people don't necessarily have to click on the objects to know more about it. They should actually already look at the pictures and understand something about the object that is enough to follow the storyline. And we just thought that Ruwena is definitely the right person to mm-hmm. work on this topic with us.
So that is not enough just to take a snapshot with your mobile phone.
No.
That's why we have Ruwena here. What was in the job description?
I think it's in more in the job designation, which made me think, which is filmmaker, photographer, and visual storyteller. And I was like, yes. Interesting. Before I started, I wasn't really sure, but now looking at each object, taking it out of its context, so to say, in the exhibition space, and really focusing on its smaller details and how all of that, you know, handled so preciously by the curator, Stephanie Plappert. And we were going through the vitrines and going object by object, you know, with the beautiful white gloves of the curator and setting up the whiteboards and looking at each object individually from all different angles, different perspectives at looking at an object. It felt very precious, like they really are these amazing objects of history. And each and every object in the museum is so amazing. That's the thing, because it goes through time, in a sense, to tell you the story of how film evolves.
So normally an object is in a glass box. Yeah. You look at it through a window. Yeah. And how do you deal with it as a photographer? How's the process?
They're very precious objects and only the curator can handle them.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't move them into a different space altogether. We worked in the museum itself on days when the museum was shut. So we try to use the lighting that's already existing and maybe just a bounce here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But we would take it out of the vitrine, out of the glass box, and place it on another surface and put whiteboard. But not too much movement with the objects because some of them are very delicate. And also that space is temperature controlled, it's humidity controlled, everything. And, you know, these are the things that you have to keep in mind when you're working with objects from history, right?
Yes.
So we couldn't like just take it to a studio or take it somewhere else. That would not work.
How do you deal with bigger objects that you just can't take out of the box and put somewhere else?
The bigger objects, we just tried to put some backing where we could. Otherwise, we just shot them with as good lighting as possible and let Photoshop do the magic after that.
Seems to me that you have to be a little artistic as well, or like an acrobat to find the right position for taking a picture as well.
Yes, it was quite interesting because some of them could not be moved at all. They were kind of fixed in the vitrine and I had to be kind of held in certain positions so that I don't fall flat on my face on the object or on the glass vitrine. While my lovely curator and project manager were holding me back by the shoulder or by the hip. It was interesting. It was quite a, I have to say, I had the most fun shooting at the museum. Absolutely.
What I also wanted to add to the process while we were shooting, I think that what was incredibly interesting was that we even came up with new stories while we were shooting, because we saw similarities in objects that we didn't see before, you know, and only in that way we were able to tell stories that we're not usually telling. You know, we really needed that change of perspective, that taking things out of context to be able to tell the stories that we want to tell. So this is all works hand in hand together, you know.
Do you have an example of a story that you were just discovering while taking the pictures?
So we have this object in the first floor exhibition called the Theater Ombre, which is this moving panorama with silhouettes. And it's like, basically it's a scroll. And this goes so far back in film and moving image and all the way to like the Birds film, Alfred Hitchcock's film, where, you know, there's this, they've just superimposed the lake. And it's just so amazing to have these connections.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another one that links to the horror podcast also, which is in the Zoetrope. And it's about the devil. And he's doing a little acrobat. And I just love the zoetrope. It is such a cute optical illusion. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I come from a filmmaking background. And it's so amazing for me to learn all of these things while working on this amazing project.
You studied film. And now by taking pictures of film objects, you learn about the history of movie.
Absolutely.
It's funny.
Absolutely.
That's a cool story as well.
And it's such a privilege to be handling these real objects instead of, you know, just looking at it digitally, to actually see them in motion almost.
What kind of objects are found in the museum and in the archives?
The objects in the museum basically talk about the progression of how moving image came to be.
Mm-hmm.
So you have like all the way from like perspective theater, like small like wooden models cut out and like really delicately painted. Then there's these scroll pictures have always been a thing from centuries back, whether it's Tibetan painting or whether it's a painting from India, like, you know, these the Phat paintings.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have these zoetropes where the movement started happening. The second floor is a more contemporary sharing of how film works.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at iconic storyboards to iconic costumes, like the alien costume, which is our most favorite and grandest and biggest exhibit.
Yes.
It's absolutely beautiful and fascinating to think that nowadays everything is just digitally made. This costume actually had a small human being inside it.
Okay, it's a difficult object because it's kind of big, but it's interesting. But how do you take a good picture of a piece of paper? like, how do I take an interesting picture of a script? It's just letters on paper.
I mean, right now, when you say it, it sounds like it's just letters on paper. But the thing is that, like, most of the scripts that are there, they're not digitally printed, they're typed out.
Mm-hmm.
So there is mm-hmm. already a certain kind of interesting, because every letter is hand-punched into the paper. So there is already an interesting texture that happens. And then you see the crease in the paper, you see the edges of the paper, you see the yellowing, you see the stamp, you mm-hmm. see the font in which the letterhead was written. And all of these things are interesting. I just have to take a clear, good photograph, that's all. The object speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, I don't have to do so much. I just have to do justice in portraying what is there in the image and bring that out.
Sounds like a very respectful approach to all the objects. Like, you really are humble in front of them.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, I think the people in the team are also equally respectful and humble to mm-hmm. the objects.
Mm-hmm.
And this just spreads, I guess. And I learn from that. And I start looking at it through those rose-tinted glasses, which mm-hmm. is amazing because it is like looking at it through the glass of history.
Oh, that's beautiful. Katharina, will the visitors who will explore the constellation 2.0, are they able to enlarge the picture?
Yes.
So I can really go into the details that Rena was just talking about and like have a look at the texture.
Yes.
Maybe I can even better see it than standing in front of the object itself.
Yes, for sure. I mean, this is also from an accessibility aspect, very, very important.
Uh-huh.
That you are able to take a look at the objects in a way that you're usually not able to, or if you're not able to because of accessibility issues, you can zoom in, zoom out, you can definitely get a better idea of the object itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe we can take a step back and again have a look at how the Constellation 2.0 technology will be like for our interested visitors who come to the DFF and maybe they see the alien stunt costume. And how do they get from the alien costume to a story that leads them, for example, to the acrobatic devil? How do I get from the alien costume to the zoetrope via the constellation?
So first of all, you know, what we assume what our visitors like to do when they come to the museum is taking a look at the objects in the first place and learning a little bit more about them. So if someone comes into the museum and is really, really interested in the alien, which a lot of people are, no question, they can collect this object, in a sense, digitally with their collection tool, and they can take a look at this object later, either at home or at touch screens in the museum itself. So there they can enlarge the pictures, they can get more information there, they learn more about the whole world that is surrounding this object. And what they also can do is they can zoom out and see the storylines that we have created around this object. And they can see what kind of connection we see from one object to the other. They can see that the storylines goes across to the zoetrope via various other objects, via films, via people,
mm-hmm.
via other kind of items. You know, that these items don't have to be in the museum to be in the storylines. But then they reach the zoetrope and they see, oh, it's on the first floor. I've missed it, maybe. So then they can go back and take a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
For example, this is one possibility to mm-hmm. also physically move around in your storyline. Or people can, what we are assuming is that people would collect objects on the first floor, for example, go up to the second floor, put their collection tool on our screen, and then they see what they collected. And at the same time, they see which other objects there on the second floor are connected via storylines to these objects.
Mm-hmm.
So they will see that the zoetrope is connected to the alien costume.
Yes.
And they will maybe question it. Why? Because it sounds weird. So they will be interested in the storyline behind it. But then they would go home, log into the web experience, find even more storylines, find even more objects, find films, and can create their own watch lists and can decide if they want to watch these movies. Yeah, it's also because without us really getting into the objects and really looking at them properly through Roana's eyes or through her lens, in a sense, you know, we wouldn't be able to draw these connections.
Yes.
We wouldn't see these things.
Yes. So Constellation allows visitors to switch between the virtual and the physical experience. So I can explore things online and then go back to another object in the museum. And also maybe I have already learned something about an object that I'm going to see later. So I will approach it with a little knowledge I already have.
So we have a very special model which was built for the museum, which is a giant zoetrope. I think that is one of the zoetrope is one of my favorite, like, early objects.
During the photo shoots, was there an object that really got to you that you didn't have in mind before so much?
Oh yes. Yeah, a lot of them. Because it's very interesting. A year ago, you asked me the same question. You asked me, is there any object that you only discovered because of Constellation? And I was so surprised how interesting objects I found while working on this project. And after clicking each and every object and taking it out of the cases, I mean, I saw how beautiful they are crafted, you know, how beautiful they are made. Actually, after Rana sent me the first pictures, I opened them and I was looking at them and I thought, wow, have I seen this? And I had to go down to the gallery again and check if this is really the object that I saw, because it looks so different when you take it really out of context. They look different and they feel different and they make you feel different. So I was actually completely into all this old stuff again. If you really, really look at them, how they are made, it's so fascinating.
Yeah.
It's really something, and we can't do justice to them in a way because we have to keep them in vitrines. Well, we have to keep them behind glass,
in a way,
you know?
Yeah. Is there anything else that you have on your mind that you would like to add?
I'm looking forward to going to the archives. I'm super excited because there are to see more cool objects and photograph these. And I would like to see how it all turns out, actually. I'm excited to see how the storylines work, how the visual representations work. And I'm excited to see how it all works out, Katrina.
Yeah, and I'm really excited to learn about the hidden treasures you'll find in the archives.
No question. I think now we are like close to the end of the project. So the project ends next year in June. This feels very, very close already. So this is now the time where all these things come together. And especially as someone who is involved in all parts of the project and working with all these amazing people on this project. So it's just me who tries to pull all these strings and put them all together. So I'm also very, very curious how this will work out and how this will look like, because I think each and every part of this project, or each and every person actually who's working on it, is doing a great, great job, an amazing job. And I think this is incredibly exciting. This is amazing. And if you want to have a sneak peek into these developments, come to our prototyping lab, because it's not only on the 24th of April, it will be on for the next 2 weeks. So if someone wants to come, just write us a message and we will arrange that for sure. Otherwise, people from the team will be in the museum space the whole 2 weeks with our tablets and show you the web experience and show you what we're working on and ask questions. So if you want to know more about the project, just drop by.
Rowena, Katharina, thank you so much for your time and your insights. This was a very, very fun talk. Dear listeners, you heard an episode of Alles ist Film, Everything is Film. My guests were the freelance photographer Ruana Rahman and Katharina Ewald, the project manager of Constellation 2.0. And next time, we'll talk about the upcoming prototyping lab and the coding part of the project. Until then.